Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From Nashville's WSM Radio, the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hey, it's Charlie Matos, and in this episode, we sit down with our longtime friend, Kathy Mattea. Oh, it's always a better day when Kathy Mattea is in our WSM studios or graces the stage of the Grand Ole Opry. But the stage this time around would be the Franklin Theater, back-to-back nights during Americana Fest 2023, and Kathy would be hosting special editions of Mountain Stage. We'll talk about the history of that great show now on its 40th anniversary and lots of great musical memories with our friend Kathy Mattea on our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Singer, songwriter, performer, and I also host. Yeah, that's right. My name's right there next to Mountain Stage with Kathy Mattea.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
And you have decided to take West Virginia to the rest of the country.
We have,
or
indeed.
At least to Middle Tennessee for a while.
No, we've been in Northern California. Before I came on, they went to Alaska. It is an adventure. We're making sure they know what hillbilly really means.
Have banjo, will travel.
Larry Gross, who is the longtime host and one of the founders, he has a rocking chair backstage, and he would walk around with a mason jar full of moonshine. Only it was real moonshine. I was like, I'll take the gig, you guys, but the moonshine has got to be either gone or water, because I'm not that good.
So you're celebrating 40 years.
40 years.
And Larry Gross did it for 38 years, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. I took it over about 2 years ago.
And I remember playing on vinyl early in my radio career in the early to middle 70s, a thing called Junk Food Junkie.
Oh, yeah.
That he did. It was a big
Larry's a renaissance man. He's known for Junk Food Junkie, but he is a musical omnivore. He owned, he's run a ballet. He's run an alternative newspaper. He found West Virginia when he was part of the National Endowment for the Arts, like a traveling artist, traveling around the country, doing workshops and stuff. He's a very interesting guy.
And a Texan by birth, isn't he?
And Dallas is his, yes. Believe me, until I came along, there was a large Cowboys helmet sitting at his station. I was like, that's the other non-negotiable for me, kids. So they went and got me a tiny little, from one of those like machines with the quarters.
Yes.
A tiny little Titans plastic.
with like the logo's a sticker, right?
I'm going to have to earn my way up to the real thing.
Yeah, and sometimes it was a pencil sharpener.
That fancy. Yeah. This is not that upscale.
We get to do it now, the Franklin Theater this weekend.
Yeah, we're on the road this weekend. Yeah. We're in town at the Franklin Theaters Saturday night and Sunday night. Sunday night we're sold out, sadly, but Saturday night there's still a few tickets left. Steve Earle's our headliner, so he's got that song that just became a Tennessee State song, Copperhead Road, about moonshining and weed growing, which I think is really interesting. No, you're one of us now. Elizabeth Cook, who we love on Circle TV, and who's got the fishing show and is just a force of frickin' nature.
She is that.
Sam Bush is on with a tribute to John Hartford. John Hartford was a big influence on me. I've known Sam since I was really young, so I'm very excited about that. Sarah Lee Guthrie is on Saturday night. She is Woody Guthrie's granddaughter. Oh. Arlo Guthrie's daughter. Yeah. And Chris Pierce, who's a wonderful sort of African-American, socially conscious singer-songwriter. He's been on before and is really, really good. He has a brand new album. So that's the Saturday night lineup. Sunday night, our headliner is Jason Isbell. So we're very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. When you and I did Bill Cody Presents together on Circle Television, one of the things we did was we walked the road.
Yeah.
And share those Steve Earle early days Earle stories. You're the only
one. So Steve did a stint as a music row songwriter, and during what he calls the great credibility scare of the late 80s. And everybody, Lyle Lovett and Nancy Griffith and all kinds of, like, the Doors flung wide open. It was so great.
Rodney Crowell
was all over the radio having number ones. So I sang demos for all those guys. I sang demos for Steve. And we signed our record deal on the same day. And I remember because it was my birthday. It was my 24th birthday in 1983, which is the same year Mountain Stage started, by the way.
Wow.
And I lived on Music Row in those days, and we were throwing a big birthday party, and Steve came, and it became like the record deal party. Bob Werman was there. He was walking around going, my babies are all growing up. They're all getting record. And it was just it's this moment we will share forever.
And you'd left West Virginia, speaking of Mountain Stage and the home of the show. You were headed to California?
No, the song says that. The first song I ever wrote, I was fantasizing about moving to California, but it wound up being Nashville, which I'm so glad about.
And did you know people here, or did you just step out on a leap of faith?
My main co-writer in the band I was in college.
What was the band name?
The band's name was Pennsboro, named after a small town outside of Parkersburg, where we bonded over a weekend in a summer with a little bit of help from
Kumbaya.
A keg of beer or two. And we were camping out in the mountains. And so he was graduating. Of course, he's got a master's degree. I'm in my sophomore year. And he's like, I'm going to go to Nashville and write songs because I always said I would. And as I watched him get ready, I was just like, I'm not going to be able to live with myself if he goes down there and he has this great life and I am up here being an engineer, you know, like a brain in a jar on a shelf crunching numbers, because I was a physics and chemistry major. So he looked at me one day and he said, well, you know, you're welcome to come with me if you want. And I was like, oh, I can't. I mean, my parents grew up in coal mining towns. You know, I had to get my degree. It was such an opportunity. And as time came on, I just realized that if he went to Nashville and had this great life and I was stuck up there, I'd never forgive myself. We didn't know anybody. And he left after less than a year. And that's my joke. He's a dentist in Richmond, and I'm still here.
Wow.
And every once in a while, I get to see him on the road and spend a day with him. And I just look at him, and I'm like, dude, thank you so much. That's been great.
Great. I mean, he basically was your Uber driver to get you here, you know?
Yeah, it was. And my sort of inspiration. He was the first person I met who he taught me how to dream. Mm-hmm. And there was this day that I had been fired from my job, my summer job at the mall, the Mountaineer Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, from selling cheese at the Hickory Farms. They just did not think I was Hickory Farms material. I could not build my life around cheese as hard as I tried. And so I went home and I did what you do. I got depressed and sat around while all my roommates went to work. And I thought, I was sitting around one day. I was like, what am I going to do? I'm breaking up with my boyfriend. The band's going to break up. Mick's leaving. What am I going to do? Next year's going to be so. And I thought, well, I mean, this thought came to me. And it was, if you look at this like a crisis, it'll be a crisis. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it like an opportunity, it'll be an opportunity. And I realized I'd skipped a grade. I was a year younger than everybody in school, and I had a year to play with. I got so excited, I called my mom. Mom, guess what? I'm going to quit and move to Nashville with Mickey and write songs.
What?
She wasn't as thrilled about it as I was.
I was going to say, what was that reaction?
Because dead silence.
As a mother of a teenager right now,
I was 19. I was 19 years old. I thought I was so grown up.
Of course.
And God bless my parents. They let me. They were like, we have to let her do this. And I mean, they were, it must have been so hard.
Yeah.
And they were really, really, they were very supportive. And they grew up poor, you know. Mm-hmm. So for them, the stakes were very high. And I just feel, you know, it feels a little bit like somebody was watching over me. Somebody had an idea of what I was supposed to do in this world.
So how did you get Love at the Five and Dime that we know from Nancy Griffith's catalog?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so there was this guy named Richard Dobson, a songwriter from Texas, and he ran around with a bunch of people that I knew, and he used to say, you got to meet my friend Nancy. I mean, she, you guys would love each other. And he would say, Nancy's coming into town, and I'd always be gone or working or something. And finally, we could never make it happen. And I had started working with Alan Reynolds, and I was at the studio when I hung out there all the time.
Big pal.
Oh, pal. We love him. And I lived a block from the studio, so I was like there like a puppy dog every day, sitting at the feet of the guru.
Yeah.
And I showed up one day, and the studio door was closed, and he didn't really rent his studio out to people. But Jim, I said, who's in the studio today? He said, oh, Rooney's producing Nancy Griffith. And I was like, Nancy Griffith? And I just ran in. I waited till they weren't recording. They were in a playback. And I opened the door and I was like, it's me. It's you. It's me. We're Richard. And she's looking at me like, okay. All right. And Love at the Five and Dime, her version was playing. And a few weeks later, we were listening to songs and Alan said, I want you to listen to this. It's a kind of unusual song. And I heard the first opening lines. I said, I love it. Let's do it. And then Nancy and I got nominated for a Grammy that year, her in the folk category and me in the country category. And we went and sat down and had a little drink before we went to the show. And it was just great.
As the world knows, you owned it.
Thank you.
From the first note, Kathy Mattea, WSM Radio, Circle Television, and our new app, Circle Now.
Rita was 16 years, hazel eyes and chestnut hair. She made the Woolworth counter shine. And Eddie was a sweet romancer.
Kathy Mattea in studio. Two live tapings of Mountain Stage this weekend at the Franklin Theater on Saturday and Sunday. Tell us more.
Well, it's going to be so fun. Sunday is Jason Isbell, Tracy Nelson, who has just put out a new album and is just like, oh my gosh. I remember hearing her when I first moved to town in the late 70s, and she is still singing her butt off.
How about that?
Todd Snyder, who is a force of nature as well. Storyteller, singer, songwriter, raconteur. You just got to see him to understand. Adeem the Artist, who's a new artist, opening for Jason Isbell at the Ryman in October. And Band of Heathens, a band out of Austin that's been together forever.
Love those
cats. They're great. They're great. So, I mean, we have one heck of a lineup this weekend. And we're very, you know, it's for me, a lot of it's full circle. I've known Sam forever. I've known Tracy. You know, it's just a real, that's the sweet part. You know, people come through. And sometimes there are people I know, and it's like Bela Fleck. I'm suddenly catching up with Bela Fleck and meeting Michael Cleveland for the first time. And and then somebody else will come through, and they're like somebody's steel player comes up to me, and he says, can we take a selfie? Because my parents are blowing up my phone right now. Because I didn't realize that you were you, and I listened to you my whole life. So it's just the sweetest. I mean, it's just a lovely thing, you know?
And tell them about Saturday. I know you said Saturday.
That was Sunday. Saturday is Steve Earle's the headliner, Elizabeth Cook, Sam Bush with a tribute to John Hartford, Sarah Lee Guthrie, Woody Guthrie's granddaughter, Arlo Guthrie's daughter, and Chris Pierce, who's a wonderful singer-songwriter, great singer.
With Kathy Mattea hosting in the 40th anniversary year of Mountain Stage.
Of Mountain Stage.
Give us the history of Mountain Stage and what it means to people in West Virginia, what it means to the music world.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's an iconic thing in West Virginia. West Virginia is proud of its culture.
Like the Wheeling Jamboree would be.
It's very much, it's like the NPR version of the Wheeling Jamboree, but not as old.
Nearly 300 stations now, something like that?
Almost 300 stations. We reach almost 250,000 people a weekend, which I love thinking about the people. Like during COVID, you know, it's all built around live performance. So we don't tell anyone what to play. We give them a slot and they get to be themselves. And so it's all about what happens in the moment between an artist and an audience and keeping that alive and highlighting it for the special thing that it is. And Larry and I've spent a lot of time talking about this, and he's like, you know, everyone deserves a chance to expand their audience, each musician. And so we just give them a chance to reach more people and spread their own thing. And for me as the host, my whole deal that I get excited about is, you know, it's been 35 years of talking about me and my songs and my singing. And all of a sudden, it's just about loving on other people and sort of getting the essence of what's special about each person and trying to convey that to the audience so they'll lean in. That is the most so fun. It's just music and love, you know? It's just love and music. That's all it's about for me. And my culture and my home and my place and an institution. So I just feel like I'm the luckiest person.
And we learned, Kelly, Charlie, that she does her own prep.
You're doing your homework?
I do my homework,
there's
I swear.
It's
really hard. You know, you open up something and someone's been making music for 60 years and you go, okay,
Do we start at the beginning?
I'm going to have to do a lot of listening today. And, I mean, and also, how do you really honor the gravitas of a 60-year career in an introduction and still leave them enough time to play music? Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to understand how important these people are that are coming on the show, some of them. But I also want to do it in a concise way. So it really uses my skill set in a different way.
Yeah.
It's like songwriting on steroids, you know? It's like 30 seconds of non-rhyming, very edited, clear, concise introduction. So it's fun.
That's
it's really fun.
Well, you need to come guest announce on the opera.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That's
yeah, you do.
Hang out one night.
Oh, my God. Do they have guest announcers?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Nancy Jones just did it with me the other day.
This is how I got this gig. Yeah. I was in a random conversation with Andy Ridenour, the original executive producer, and I said, oh, that sounds like, you have guest hosts? That sounds like it'd be so fun. And the next thing I know, so don't hand me the Opry as long as you promise. Because I've got enough on my plate. I'd love to.
You're already doing the homework. Just keep your notes and file them away, and then you just pull them out.
And we're dark like one night a week now.
Oh, no. I swear, what do you just work around the clock?
By the way, speaking of busy, you got a busy fall coming up. A lot of tour dates. There are certain venues that I wish I had been to and I have not yet. And you got back-to-back nights at Wolf Trap.
Yeah.
And I'm such a Mary Chapin Carpenter fan along with your music. And that's kind of her home field. And
it is.
But I've never
much.
Been there. What's it like?
Well, there's the Filene Center, which is the outdoor amphitheater in the summer. I've played that several times. And then there's the barns at Wolf Trap, which is an old barn from somewhere in Europe that they dismantled and brought over log by log. And it's just this amazing space. And it's intimate. If you can feel that it's old, it was put together lovingly. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of history in that room.
Okay.
Half the fun of playing at Wolf Trap is just looking at all the pictures backstage of everybody when they're young.
Speaking of that, you were talking about the longevity of careers, and you have a guest and you look and they've been at it for 60 years. Mm-hmm. The other day, sitting where you were sitting this morning, Gene Watson. Gene Watson gets up, 60-year career. Exile walks in.
Oh, guys, my gosh.
Whose records would have been played at the same time you were having hits, they were having hits, trying to pass them on the charts to get to the top. We realized.
I was on the New Faces show with them.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh,
wow. Really? Yeah. 120 years between the two of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Both of them at 60 years in their
and
careers.
Great music. God, Gene Watson's voice. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just what a. I'm so glad he's still singing. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. And who was on earlier, the drummer?
Steve Jordan.
Steve Jordan. You know, he's like, I take Rod Stewart down there, you know, or like, oh, my good friend Keith Richards, we went to check it out. It's like, dude, this is not a conversation most people have.
Yeah, his first gig was Stevie Wonder, and then Stevie Warner. I hope Stevie Warner. Little Stevie Warner is
You know where your bread's buttered, pal.
But Stevie Wonder was his first gig, and then I looked, and after that, he went on tour with Joe Cocker. He's a teenage kid.
I mean, really.
That's nuts.
And now he's drumming for the Rolling Stones.
It's really,
it's,
you know, there is something, that's part of making those introductions of those 60-year careers. You want the audience to understand who they're hearing. Like, this is a good musician, but like he said on the radio just a little while ago, this person was in your living room, everyone's living room your whole life, and you don't have their name. Mm-hmm. But he's been like the heartbeat of your life. And so there is something about, I think people listen differently when they know that. It's mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing that I get to add to people's body of work to say, you know, basically I think my job is to say, wait till you get a load of this.
Yeah.
You know?
You heard
Very
it from
true.
Kathy Mattea. He'd be a great guest for Mountain Stage.
Oh my
by
gosh.
The way, to sit in with somebody one
Hey,
night.
He could just come play drums by himself. We wouldn't care. We wouldn't care.
Come do a drum solo.
Yeah.
Long as you want. Kathy, thanks for coming to see us.
Thanks for having me.
And
good
congratulations
to see all
on
of you
40
guys.
Years of Mountain Stage Thank and you're hosting it at the Franklin Theater both Saturday and Sunday, 7 o'clock shows. This is WSM Radio. You're watching on Circle Television.
I used to love him, that ain't no lie. We had a good thing, till he said goodbye. And with one touch, you set my heart ablaze.
I'm burning, old man.
Thanks for listening to the Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star review. This podcast was produced through the facilities of WSM Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. The hosts of Coffee, Country, and Cody are Bill Cody, Charlie Mattos, and Kelly Sutton. Producer Eric Markham. WSM General Manager and Director of Content and Programming, J. Patrick Tittle. Copyright 2023. Opry Entertainment Group Holdings, LLC.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.